Did you know that Jesus Christ wants us to become martyrs? That he was a martyr, and that's why he said, follow me. And he wants us to follow exactly in his footsteps, which is why in different places he said, take up your cross and follow me. Often people lament that the church isn't as holy as the church used to be, and often the greatest example of that is the early church. While 11 of the 12 apostles were martyrs, many of the early saints, if not almost all of them, were martyrs, and every single Christian who became a Christian knew that by that very action, they were putting their lives at risk. My friends, my name is Alvaro, and this is a channel Uniquely Mary, and today we are exploring the second beatitude, and the beatitudes are nothing else than the spiritual journey of becoming a martyr. Now, we may not actually be killed for our faith, but we will become the types of people that are possible for us to become martyrs. And the world in which we're living in is going in that direction, to where even believing in Jesus on a superficial level can maybe in the future get us killed. Last week, we talked about that first step, detachment from material possessions. And that was the lens through which we interpreted, blessed are the poor in spirit. Today, we are at that second step, that second stage. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, on a superficial reading of it, it may not make sense, because those words would mean something like, happy are those that are sad. And when you think of it that way, it just sounds maybe like a bad fortune cookie or something that just simply doesn't make any sense. Now, before we even continue and before we define what mourning is, you need to know what it will do in your life. Spiritual mourning, in the way that Jesus thinks of it, will transform your life. It gives you the power to transform the world around you. It gives you the power to leave sins behind. It gives you the power to appease God's anger and call down peace on our country. It is mystically powerful and has the power of bringing you into union with God. It is an unbelievable thing that has been forgotten, that people don't talk about, or they completely misunderstand. Now, first, let's get into what is it. Now, when Jesus says, blessed are they who mourn, what he means are those that mourn for their sins. Now, there are four principal things that we can mourn for: our sins, the sins of others, the sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Mary. Now, if you understand the logic, they're all connected to the same thing: mourning over evil. And that was actually a common idea to the Jews at the time. Now, what did that look like biblically? Well, whenever they talk about proclaim a fast and mourn and weep, the people would mourn, put on sackcloth, throw ashes on their head, and weep and lament their sins. And it was their way of stopping any impending wrath from God. We hear this many, many, many times. In fact, for instance, when you read the prophet Jonah, that's exactly what he goes to proclaim to that city of Nineveh. They mourn for their sins, disaster is averted, everything is saved. Now, this still works today. Jesus wants us to mourn for our sins. It is a practice that is common in spirituality. Now, we see many prayers and devotions that are connected to this. For instance, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, different prayers that are offering to God the sufferings of Jesus, the seven sorrows of Mary, everything associated with Our Lady of Fatima has to do with this second beatitude, blessed are they who mourn. In fact, in some of the different apparitions, she appears to the children with this characteristic of mourning. Now, how can you mourn for your sins in your own life? Now, many of you probably already do this, but maybe haven't given it this specific name, or you don't even realize that you're living out the second beatitude. Now, let me suggest to you that you need to ask the Holy Spirit what you need to mourn for. Now, let's immediately begin connecting that second part. For they will be comforted. Let me suggest this. Those that do not mourn their sins will either end up a long time in purgatory or even possibly go to hell. How will you be comforted? When you get to the judgment and you see all the many days and years that you didn't have to go to purgatory because you mourned here on earth, that will give you immense comfort. I mean, there's hardly any better comfort than that. But not even in the future, but now, if you mourned for your sins, you will have a twofold consolation. First of all, you will know that you are consoling Jesus, and that itself is a reward. But he will give you consolation in your spiritual life. Now, when you go to mourn for your sins, this can get really, really detailed, because you literally need to mourn for every sin that you committed, mourn for every place that you committed sin, and you need to mourn for every person, including yourself, that you affected by this sin. I did this yesterday. I was putting my preaching into practice. I didn't want to just talk about this for you to do. I wanted to live this out. So I went to pray the rosary and I simply asked God to take me somewhere where he wanted me to mourn. So in my prayer and in my imagination, he took me to this past place that I hadn't thought about for a long time. And it's as if he was saying, I want you to pray the rosary here in your imagination. I want you to mourn for your sins here and atone for them. Console me and make up for what you did not do. Now, initially, of course, it brought a lot of sadness. And of course, sadness is something that we often try to avoid at all costs. But after doing that, I felt a peace that's difficult to describe. It's like I had accomplished what I was supposed to do back then. I was able to fulfill part of it now. Now, again, in asking the Holy Spirit to show you what and where you need to mourn for, many of you are afraid of sadness. In fact, you know that I'm a therapist, and people are deeply afraid of this emotion. They're scared to cry. They're scared to be sad because we're told that it's evil. But you need to realize that sadness and tears have mystical power before God. Now, let me talk about a second aspect of this emotion and how it has power before God. I want to speak about the gift of tears. This is a well-known, or perhaps not very well-known, mystical power that God gives certain saints. One of the saints who is super famous, and he had this, and people don't even know that he had this, is Saint Francis of Assisi. He had the gift of tears to such a degree that it even made him almost go blind. For many years, he had this gift. What would he weep over? Of course, our sins, the sins of the world, the sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Mary, the four principal things that we can mourn for. And there are many other gifts that would be given this gift of tears. And in fact, you should ask the Holy Spirit to consider giving you the gift of tears to weep over sins. Now, obviously, this has an effect of appeasing God's wrath, appeasing his anger, consoling God, and looking at it from the positive lens. But it also has this effect of pulling you away from sin. In fact, I would argue that this is probably the principal effect of mourning. It keeps you from falling back into sins that you've committed. I would even argue that if you are someone that keeps committing the same sin over and over again, it's because you haven't mourned enough for that sin. You haven't wept over that sin enough. You haven't been sad over it. You haven't shed enough tears. And that's why you keep going back, because you still desire it to some degree. So if the first beatitude is about letting go of our physical possessions, the second beatitude is about letting go of our spiritual possessions. Those sins that we've committed that keep us from joining to God. Now, what would be a practical example of what this looks like? Now, today I want to talk about Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, the American saint that I think most perfectly exhibits and shows us what it means to mourn for your sins. Now, she lived in the 1600s. She died when she was about 24 or 25. She's called the Lily of the Mohawks. Her whole life was filled with sorrow, but she was able to use that sorrow to, in her short life, go into mystical union with God, so much so that the people around her knew that she was holy. And as soon as she died, miracles and healings began happening. At an early age, a smallpox pandemic ravaged her village, killed her parents and many other people in her Indian tribe. Her uncle took her under her wings, and she was even affected by smallpox. In fact, it scarred her face and her vision permanently, to where her name, Tekakwitha, means she who bumps into things. Literally, she could barely see. Yet, despite this disability, she was able to become a saint that had incredible spiritual vision. Early on, her uncle wanted her to marry. That was the custom in that tribe. She had already begun hearing about Jesus, did not want to marry. She wanted to be a virgin. She wanted to give herself completely to Christ. There were French Jesuits that were preaching the gospel in that area of the country at the time. They were especially impressed by her intense ascetical and penitential life. Now, ascetics means anything related to discipline, to penance, to voluntary sufferings that we undertake to atone for sins and to console God. In other words, what we would call mourning. Now, the Jesuits, as you can imagine at that time, were very intense, very strict, and many of them were martyred. Those are called the North American Martyrs. But even she far surpassed them in her penitential life because it was already a part of the culture of those Indians to undertake penances for different reasons. She was so intense that the Jesuits told her, no, ease off, you cannot do that. And she went even far beyond. She really wanted to embrace this virtue, and they saw how it helped her grow in mystical union. She undertook, in fact, so many penances that it constantly affected her health, and it led to her death at the age of 24. Now, you would think that she was extreme. You would think that she went too far, but as soon as she died, she appeared to her spiritual sister, someone that she was very close to, and she said, "My sister, I am on my way to heaven." God was pleased with her penances. God was pleased with her mourning, and she was immediately comforted by being given the grace of entering heaven. One of my favorite penances that she would do, she would walk in the snowy fields holding a simple wooden cross, lamenting and mourning over the sufferings of Jesus. My friends, do not waste your sadness. Do not waste your mourning. Follow the example of Saint Kateri and all the many other saints that mourned and lamented their sins, that mourned the sufferings of Jesus, and took this beautiful staircase of mourning into heaven. Do not waste this emotion. Do not waste your tears. Use them to console God. Use them to atone for your sins. Use them to grow in your spiritual life. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted.